Friday, November 30th, Boston. Headline in the House of Blues, Foundation Room, 8 o'clock. You gotta be there. IanFinance.com. The next night, December 1st, Poughkeepsie, Laugh It Up. Headlining, gonna be a good time. That's right, come hang out, tell a friend, enjoy it. Thursday, December 6th, I'm gonna be at Atlantic City Comedy Club, Atlantic City, New Jersey. Next day, Philly Comedy Club, two shows, 7, 9:30. Gonna be a good time. Philadelphia, Saturday, December 8th, opening up, Can It Flash. Open up for Jackie the Joke Man Martling. Yup, from the Howard Stern Show. And then December 19th, Wednesday, 7:30, headlining Caroline's on Broadway. Come. That's right. I'm talking about squirting, baby. Or just showing up and having a good time. I want you all to be there. December 19th, Caroline's on Broadway, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $10 with promo code Ian. Get tickets off the Caroline's on Broadway website, carolines.com, ianfinance.com, promo code Ian, $10 tickets. What more do you want? I'll tell a friend about it. Means the world when you all spread the word. I'm back for the attack, Jack, and I want you all to be there. And hear me spread some propaganda about love, light, and laughter, baby. That's right. Welcome back to the pod, motherfuckers. What you just heard was a movie-going experience with good old Gail. That's right. I went home for Thanksgiving, and she and I love going home because I get to hang out at my mom's house, clear my head a little, and we've gotten in this habit of watching movies, and watching a movie with Gail is fun because she just has a million questions that I don't have answers for. And she's like Mystery Science Theater Gail Thousand. It's just watching movies with her is just a constant laugh track filled with commentary that I think is hilarious. And we watched Jeepers Creepers, and I interviewed her about it. And I'll play that a little later. It was nice going home for Thanksgiving with her. We had a good talk, had a good time. Spent some time with some family. I saw my cousins. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I don't even know if I saw him last year. Did I see him last year? Maybe. I know that I saw... A couple of years ago, God love him, but, you know, growing up, I had my mom's side of the family and my dad's side of the family. I was really close to my dad's side of the family and really close to my mom's side of the family, but the two families never really mixed. And I had two cousins. My dad had three sisters, Lois, Linda, and Joyce. Joyce had two kids. Linda had two kids. Lois had three kids. Lois lived in Virginia. Linda lived close to us. Joyce lived in southern Delaware. I never really saw Joyce's kids. Lois lived far away. I saw her kids every once in a while. Linda's kids I saw all the time. They were always at our house. I was always at their house. We were always playing together. My parents were babysitting them. They were babysitting me. On my mom's side of the family, my uncle never had kids of his own. My aunt had one kid, but they lived in New Hampshire. My Uncle Danny never had any kids. He was in Vietnam and got exposed to Agent Orange. He couldn't have kids. He had a stepson. My Aunt Carol had a daughter. She was 6 years older than me. Always thought I was annoying. Her name was Holly. I couldn't say Holly because I had a speech impediment, so I called her Huggy. But they lived in New Hampshire. I only saw them twice a year. And when my dad died, we didn't see my dad's side of the family for 15 years. And when, after those 15 years, it just so happened that when we started to get reintroduced to my dad's side of the family, we had a falling out with my mom's side of the family and kind of switched places. So now we no longer talk to my mom's side of the family, and we now talk to my dad's side of the family. And me and my cousins, my two cousins, my Aunt Linda's kids, Michelle and Lizzie, we get along, but, you know, it's weird, man. We don't see each other. But they try to be supportive of my comedy, and God bless them. And they, you know, always want to, when I'm in town, when I come out to shows. And so 2 years ago, and listen, my comedy is very where I'm at. It's, I wish more than anything, I could just be observational and be very, you know, talk about what's going on in the world and, you know, talk about what cars are like, or have you ever noticed about this? But my comedy is very autobiographical, very, truthful to who I am and where I am and what I'm going through at the time. And if I'm in a dark place, that's what you're going to get. And they came to see me 2 years ago, and about maybe, I'd say 2 months, 2, 3, 4 months prior to this show, I had just come out and I had just had a mental breakdown and everything was all new. And my dad's side of the family hadn't seen me perform comedy in a couple years, and they were all so excited to see me, and I was performing in Wilmington, Delaware, and I just let it loose, baby. I was doing all this material about how I fucking love trans and black women and fucking suck a dick and all this stuff, and they, like, my cousins, Lizzie and Michelle, loved it. They were fucking hooting and hollering, and my aunts and uncles, they looked as if I had just, you know, tore down the fucking Christ on the cross and was, you know, pulling the flesh apart like I was in the movie Alive, you know? So it seeing them at these family dinners now is kind of weird. But it almost brought me and my cousins closer together because now we can, like, talk and be ourselves. So it's, like, great, you know? And it's just funny because at Thanksgiving, my Aunt Joyce and my Aunt Linda are like, "So, do you have shows?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I have this show at Caroline's that, you know, I'm trying to get people out for her." And they're like, "Well, we can come up for it." And I was like, "Well, you know, just wait until I'm on TV." And they go, "Well, you know, we do want to support you." And my cousin Lizzie goes, "Just wait till he's on TV. Ian, come downstairs." I was like, "Thanks, Liz." You know, I get it. I'm not for everybody. It's okay. I'm all right with it. You know, it's just who I am. I'm a hard pill to swallow. I'm a little Alanis Morissette. I'm a jagged little pill. That's a little music pun bell. I'm going to play that every time a little music pun comes along. You know, I got one hand in my pocket and the other one's whistling for a cigarette. How'd that song go? Holy shit. I remember 1995, I just got a computer. We had Prodigy, the internet, and I really loved Alanis Morissette. So I went on a message board and I started corresponding with someone about Alanis Morissette. And I was talking to them about her performance on Saturday Night Live. And me and this guy were emailing back and forth. And I said, I don't mean to alarm you, but my name's Ian and I'm an 11-year-old boy from Wilmington, Delaware. Because the account was under the name Gail, and they kept calling me Gail, and they kept asking me questions about, you know, where I was and what I liked. So when I said that I was an 11-year-old boy from Delaware, they just stopped corresponding with me because I think they were hitting on me, but, you know, always live your truth. Man, Thanksgiving was really good. You know, I keep getting this question a lot from people, because I work the cellar and people ask me about Louis C.K. and I've had to bring him on stage a handful of times. It's very strange how international news story is ancillarily involved in my life in a weird way, and I don't know. The guy is not doing himself any favors by not addressing anything. And you would think, being one of the greatest comedic minds of our time, he would have, you know, at least a minute or two of material to address what has been going on or how it feels. My opinion is that his perspective on things to be accused and to have a career and have it taken away from him, and to be called a rapist when he's never been convicted of rape would be an interesting perspective that I think in the Me Too movement has been lost. You know, not that you know, him jerking off on the phone without someone's knowledge is a shitty fucking scumbag move. But I have read many and heard many different stories that every other instance was asked with consent. He's just a creep. He's just a weirdo that, you know, has put people in awkward positions. Does that make him a rapist? No. Does that make him someone that's tough and fucking weird to be around? Yes. I think, does that mean that he should never work again? No. Does that mean that he should address it? Yes. Does that mean that he should come back to work? Yes. Does that mean that he should take time off and address it immediately? I think he should address it when he comes back and have a poignant thing to say because he's spent so much time away. Yeah. And I think the fact that he hasn't shows it a complete lack of respect for his industry, his colleagues, the places that he's going to work. The fact that he never called the seller, the fact that he never contacted Noam, someone who he's worked with countless times, who he helped put the seller on the map with his show, the fact that he's fucking the comics at work at the cellar by just showing up, asking to go on in the middle of the set and or in the middle of the show, doing a half hour, making it weird for everyone when he leaves. You know, it's rude. It's completely rude. He seems to have no sense of self-awareness, and he seems completely lost. Maybe he doesn't have anyone in his life that's honest with him. I don't know, but it's very strange because Richard Pryor was completely honest about everything. I shot at my wife. I cheat. I hit my wife. I grew up in a crack house. I smoke crack. I grew up in a whorehouse. I smoke crack. I fuck whores. I suck dick. I'm a bad person. I rob. I cheat. I steal. Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's hear you talk about it. Okay. honest, raw, truthful, greatest comic of all time. Louis did this thing where he tricked us into thinking he was completely honest and raw and open, but he would dance around things and not tell us the truth. And then we were tricked into thinking he was this truth-sayer, but he was only truthful on the surface and never really got deep down into the truth. If he years ago told us that he jerked off in front of women and that it was a thing he couldn't control and he had to do it and he didn't know why and he tried to get deep down into the why of it and it was a thing he couldn't stop doing, then maybe things would be different and we would be more understanding. But I think people hate him so much now because he lied to everyone and he never really told the truth. He tricked us into thinking he was a truth teller. And Pryor got away with everything because he was truthful from the jump. And Louis was a fake Pryor. That's why Pryor was the greatest of all time. And I don't know. It's just weird. People have been loving him coming back, but it's weird when he does, you know, weirdly sexual material, and then you got to kind of clean it up and then continue the show afterwards. But, you know, it's just something that's got to be done. He kind of like ribbed me one night, so I thought we were like pals, and then I was in the stairs with him, and I was like, hey, man, did you get a haircut? And he goes, yeah. And I go, oh, I've seen better. And he goes, oh, what? I go, oh, I'm fucking with you. And he goes, oh, okay. I was like, yeah, all right, well, I guess we can't joke around. oh, whoopsie daisies. You know, and you like think you can like rib someone that you're, oh, God, I had a fucking, Jesus Christ. I was outside the cellar and it was Attell and Mark Maron and, they were talking, and Attell was like, hey, Ian, come here. This is Mark. Mark, this is Ian. I was like, hey, what's up? And he was like, oh, yeah, hey, man. Going back and forth, and Attell was like, this guy wanted to be famous more than anyone else. He wanted to be the most famous in the world. And Maron was like, oh, no, I'm only semi-famous. You know, no one's really famous. You get recognized, it's no big deal, you know. And there's a lull, and I go, huh? Yeah, I know what it's like to be famous. Just joking around. I go, I got recognized on Grindr the other day. And he just looks at me, and I go, you know, that anonymous gay sex app? And he goes, yeah, I know what it is. And then he just turned and ignored me, and I was like, well, I don't know why I said that out loud. And I just walked away. It was so dumb. Why did I do that? I don't know. I was trying to be one of the fellas. Just trying to fit in. Oh, it was so stupid. You learn to keep your mouth shut. You gotta learn the hard way. I felt like a real fucking idiot. But just because I acted like an idiot doesn't mean I am an idiot. And, you know, that's a pretty positive note to end on. And speaking of positivity, why don't we inject some here with a little conversation with Gail. Check, 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 check.
Check in. If this were visual, you would see me shaking. Ian's been home all weekend. Not all weekend, thank God, but in and out. Even my voice is like, ugh.
What's so bad about me being home?
Oh, jeez. How do I count? Where do I start?
How do you count? Where do you start?
I see.
You can't even finish your sentences.
I'm not, because you have me so full of agita.
What's agita?
It's a annoyed stomach.
An annoyed stomach.
But I love you.
Well, I love you too, Mom.
I did have a good weekend with you.
I had a good weekend with you too. What was the highlight?
Being with you, it was a weekend nonstop highlight. Well, not all of it, but most of it. There were a little low lights.
What? What was a low light?
Don't. I'm trying to relax my mind. Please don't let it go there again. Honest to God. Whew. Mud on. Yeah. I love it when you share, but...
Was it when I told you how I like my coffee?
I'm not even going to. Don't try and trap me into that one. Really. Seriously, really.
Whew. Or was it when we accidentally watched that?
Oh my God, that porno film movie? Every time you come home, there's filth on that TV that I've never, ever seen before. I don't know how you find it, but...
I didn't even mean...
Please.
I swear, I just heard about this movie, Videodrome, and I didn't know that it was as bad as it was.
Well, you knew when I started screaming and said, change the channel, to change the channel, and you did not do that.
Well, the description was... Hold on, let me look it up. Ready?
Classical something?
Cult classic. Now, do you know what a cult classic is?
We went through this last night. Yes. I said it's a small group of... What did I say? People with strange ways?
That's a cult.
Strange individuals that think their own crazy, bad crazy way, not good crazy way like you think.
Mm-hmm. A Diabolical Invader is a television show that seduces and controls its viewers. Featuring rock star Deborah Harry as a kinky hostess. James Woods as a sleazy cable programmer looking for the ultimate in viewing thrills. Videodrome is a pulsating science fiction nightmare about a world where video can control and alter human life.
Yeah, but I said a scary movie. You did not read that entire thing to me. You just said what? Classical what?
Cult classic.
Cult classic. And then you asked me what I thought, if I knew what that meant, and I told you. And...
Well, the description on Stars was different. And it said suspense and grotesque... horror cult classic. That's what it said.
Well, don't ever. That was...
Here's another description. Visually audacious, disorienting, and just plain weird, Videodrome's musings on technology, entertainment, and politics still feel fresh today.
Oh.
That sounds cool.
But it was not cool. In your mind, but... Wouldn't you... have been embarrassed if we continue to watch that? Wouldn't you have been embarrassed?
Well, yeah, I didn't know that there was going to be naked Asian women and...
Well, that and didn't stop you from...
People getting tortured. I didn't know that.
Yep, well, when you saw it, you knew it. You still kept watching.
Well, I just thought that it was just a blip on the screen.
Not when it's that nasty, that quickly. It's not a blip on the screen. Don't bullshit me, kid.
I thought we were going to learn something about how the media manipulates us and...
Yeah, that's how they manipulate you. By putting all that horrible stuff in your mind. So you can't be smart.
So what do we watch instead?
Oh, that... What was that? A scarecrow turned hawk turned into one of the kids when his head got... When his spear went through his head and he ripped it off.
Oh, Jeepers Creepers 2.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Decapitated that blonde that with the attitude. What was his name? That star football player?
Oh, Jake.
Yeah, he was nasty.
Yeah, he was a jerk.
Yeah. But he... Yeah.
He deserved it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No! Well,
you don't think he deserved it?
If he was going to do it to someone, he was a good pick.
Mm-hmm. He was mean to everybody, and he only cared about himself.
He was mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It had some good scary parts. It jolted me a couple times. But...
I know. Within the first couple minutes, he screamed and said, I hurt my neck.
It was a comedy, though, because some of it was just so darn stupid. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really bad.
You were having fun. You were like, get in the bus. Get out of the bus.
Yeah, well, I got so mad because they had
Why didn't they use the gun?
They had a flare gun the whole movie, and they didn't use it till the end.
And a handgun.
No, it was just a flare gun. They didn't have a handgun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had a flare gun the whole time, and they didn't use it till the third act.
They also had a boom boom gun, a real.
Did they?
I think so. Yeah.
And then they captured the thing, and
they had it. Still did not. They could have used it many a times, and yeah. And yeah, they captured it, and put it in a barn, and it
could have been way more gory.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of it was fakey looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very fakey.
It ripped the guy's head off. It didn't show the guy's head getting ripped off. No. You just saw him without a head.
And then this other head pop out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his other head kind of, yeah, should have been in better colors. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a black and white movie with all, could have been really.
Gross and gory.
Yeah, we wanted a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't quite scary enough. What was the one we watched when you were home Thursday night?
What was it about?
Wasn't it a scary one?
What was it on?
I don't know. I know it was not over until 2:30 in the morning.
What was in it?
I forget. Scariness.
But what happened?
If I could tell you, I would tell you. You're the young brain in the family. You should remember.
But I forget. Hold on.
Ian, you're doing this to annoy me.
No. I promise you. I really forget. We came home. And what?
Forget it. Never
mind. It's bothering me.
It'll come to it when you...
Who was in it?
I don't know.
You don't remember anything that happened?
No. Did we even watch a movie?
I don't know.
We did. We did. It was a good one, too.
What was...
Yeah, because that's what made me want to watch another one a scarier one last night. I remember saying, I'm glad you're home, because... And then I said, oh, that's right, my new alarm system. You don't have to be home. I forget. No,
man,
it's bugging me.
I totally forget what movie it was.
Enough. You're driving me crazy now. It'll come
me
to
too.
Us when we stop.
Crap. I forget what movie it was. Who was in it?
It was scary though, right?
Was it?
Yeah, it was a... Oh my God, Ian, now you're really... I don't know. Stop. Enough. We'll think of it. Say a prayer to Saint Joseph. You know, we lost the title of it in our mind.
Who's Saint? Was he the saint of?
Of losing things.
That was Saint Anthony.
Oh, all right, Saint Anthony.
Was then. Saint Anthony? Was Saint Joseph the patron saint of movies?
No, of losing things. You know.
That was Saint Anthony.
Patty always says to me, when I lose something, pray to. What was that saint's name? I thought it was.
St. Anthony, please come around. Something's been lost that cannot be found. If it can be found on its way, please come around and make me gay. That's how it goes.
No, that's the prayer you said. St. Anthony, people don't know. No, that's your prayer. And it worked.
Hey.
Breaking out in a sweat. Feel my head.
I don't want to.
Come on. Aren't I?
A little bit.
Yeah. Oh, but on. You did not finish all this wonderful breakfast I made you.
It was very nice of you, Mom. Thank you.
You are quite welcome.
What movie was it?
Oh, my God. Let it go. And it'll come to you. Let it go. Let go and let go. That's another one of Patty's sayings. I don't know. That's just.
I'm gonna pray to Saint Joseph to make me a hoe. Hey, girl.
All right, enough of mixing religion with filth. Not that I'm that religious, but enough.
Yeah, you're not super religious. No. Do you believe in heaven or hell? You believe in angels.
Oh, yeah, totally believe. No, I'm not a heaven or hell believer.
I have a joke about you and angels that I do on stage now.
Let me hear it.
Where I go, oh my God. I go, no one believes in angels below the age of mom. My mom believes in angels, but not for like, oh my God, Patty beat cancer. It's only for angels for things that don't matter. Like, we'll go to the mall and get parking, and my mom will be like, that's your grandfather. Yep. Poppy knew we needed parking.
Safe parking. Oh, my God. Let me start talking about your goofy things. God, you'd never be able to stop me when I got on a roll. See how you like it.
I couldn't find the keys. Up, I found them. That's your grandmother. You know, I had to find the keys to the car.
My glasses are even steaming up.
Ooh. Oh.
You aggravate me. My temperature go all the way up. It's hit.
Where's the cat, Mom?
Talk to him. He'll answer you.
Winston.
Mm. Yeah, now he's squeaking all the time because you taught him how to
talk.
Talk.
Yep.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Are you talking about condoms?
About what?
Condoms.
Oh my God. Like when I was fixing your zipper on your coat Thursday night?
Uh huh.
And I asked you to empty out your pockets?
Uh huh.
And you said that you did?
Uh-huh.
And what fell out on my lap?
What?
A baggie full of condoms. And what did I wake up with the next morning? A rash.
You're so insane.
I did!
The two are not related.
Well.
And you're the one that taught me to have safe sex. What?
Ian, it's the same. Are you kidding me?
What?
You
told me to empty my pockets, and I have a condom in my pocket.
Oh, you don't put it on the kitchen counter.
Well, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
I can't help it.
You can't help it. Oh, now I'm going to get that rash. Now, all the food.
What, the cool rash? The rash for being cool? It's 2018. Welcome to the 90s.
Anyway, now, get it. Who else has a carton of eggs and a bag of condoms in their kitchen? Honest to God, Ian.
A cool person? You're fanning yourself off with a carton of eggs.
See, that's what you do to me.
So you can really cuss?
Oh, I can stop being so nice.
Say, for 5 seconds, say how you really feel. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Go for it.
No, I'm too mad. Oh, my God, Ian, you're still sitting there and never come to get him yet.
All right, say goodbye.
Ian,
say
now.
All right, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Ian.
Well... there it is, folks. another episode, the second episode of the second chapter of the Book of Ian. That's right. Thanks for reading along. Thanks for opening up. Thanks for reading and turning the page. And thanks for seeing what's next. I really enjoyed this one. I really enjoy going home for Thanksgiving. I really learned what I'm grateful for. That's for family. Specifically my mom. Her and I have been through a lot through the years. A whole lot. More than I care to get into. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, we've got each other. For better or worse. And that really means a lot. We can count on each other. And through it all, laughter's gotten us through a lot. I'm grateful for laughter. Matter of fact, my aunt at my cousin's house on Thanksgiving had some like linen thing, and she made us all write different gratitude words. And everyone wrote like family, blessings, cheerfulness, and I wrote laughter. Because laughter really saved my life. Comedy is something that has kept me on the straight and narrow through it all. And I try not to lose sight of that. And what do you know? Wow. I didn't even realize it till right now, but I spent another holiday sober. Holy shitballs. Can you believe it? Wow. Holy guacamole. That rules. Yeah. I used to never think I could do that. And I did it. Woo. Yeah. It is just another day, but I used to love getting fucked up on Thanksgiving. I didn't do it. That feels good. Man, a lot to be grateful for. I'm grateful for you. Grateful for you for listening, tuning in, sticking with me. Your messages. I hope you're grateful for yourselves and whatever it is you're grateful for in your lives. I hope you keep that close to you, because it really helps when the going gets tough. And whenever the going gets tough, I hope you reach in, grab into that light, let it shine bright. Hold on to it, because it means a lot. I love y'all. Thanks for listening. Hope you love yourselves. Take it easy. Enjoy every sandwich. Bye-bye.